Hello, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hang on.
Yeah, come on.
Business world.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. How is everyone doing tonight? Good, I hope.
Yeah, not too bad.
Well, that's good. You say not too bad or not too good? I couldn't understand what you said.
Hmm?
You said not too bad or not too good?
I'll pick one.
Okay, well. We have a new co-host tonight joining the freaking awesome team. Kristen is
Aloha.
Hanging out. She's waving at me. I realize that's radio. Leaving on you on air. Yay. We're hanging out over here at the luxurious fat studio with our hang up by the pole, you know, drinking beer, doing shots of tequila. How we roll.
I want my bottle back. I'm kidding.
Man, the kid keeps flashing me. Man, oh. Oh, boy. So did you girls have a good weekend?
Mine wasn't too bad.
Good. I was spent most of Saturday up at the exchange doing some work up there, trying to get some help them out with some stuff, trying to stay dry. Rain all weekend. The front yard of the exchange was like a swamp, trying to move trash out of the major's house into the corner so people could pick it up. Like old drywall and sheetrock and stuff. So, what did you guys do this weekend?
I ripped the engine out of the Jeep and I cleaned my room. Well, part of my room.
Yeah, I saw your picture on Facebook. That's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
You don't even want to think about it.
I don't blame you for that at all. Man, I hate cleaning my room. But would you say you had a double-wide trailer worth of stuff in your room or something like that?
Yeah, I moved the whole single-wide trailer that I used to live in into my upstairs bedroom that I now reside in with my parents. And half that stuff's not mine, or more than half of it's not mine. So a lot of stuff's going to Goodwill and a lot of stuff's going to the dump.
How did you move around in there if you had so much stuff in your room? You just like clear a path and make do or what?
I invested in snow shovels.
That's a good investment right there.
It's like everything was just stacked against the walls, and I was stepping on clothes, and it was horrible. I never really got the motivation to clean it, and then all of a sudden it hit me yesterday when my mom was like, "Are you going to clean your room?" And I was like, "You know what? Yes. Yes, I am."
It sounds like it needed to be cleaned. It sounds like you're going to be a lot happier with it, you know, actually having, you know, being able to see the floor.
Dude, I'm so excited. This is going to be my own little slice of paradise.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Clean room is a happy room. That's my motto. A clean house is a happy house. That's my motto, too. Clean Ryan is a happy Ryan. I have a lot of clean motto. I went online today, and Chris and I went online, actually, and we found a list of creepy things that kids say to their parents or to their relatives or whatever. And we're actually going to release them out, and we'll see what you guys think. I mean, I think they're pretty creepy. Here's one I found. A friend of mine's child told him, "Daddy, I love you so much that I want to cut your head off and carry it around so I can see your face whenever I want." That's pretty creepy.
That one is pretty creepy.
Yeah, if Rihanna said that to me, I would probably be like, "Okay, I'm going to lock your doors and you go to bed." How about you, Chris? You got one?
There's one that says, "I was in the basement of my friend's house with her 2-year-old son. She took my hand, led me over to a brick chimney that had a rusty metal door on it, and said, 'That's where the dead babies go.'" For some reason, when I heard that, I was instantly thinking Holocaust, as creepy as that may sound.
That does sound pretty creepy. It also reminds me, that, like you said before, Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, that too.
We're going to throw the kids into the oven, because I guess it's more like a metal gate. It must have looked like the door to an oven to a little kid, you know. Here's another one. "I was babysitting for a little girl, and she asked me where I had parked my car. Pointed out the window to my car across the street. She looked at me and said, 'Go to it without looking both ways.' I asked why. She replied, 'I want to see someone die.'"
Wow.
Yeah, that kid needs help. That kid's going to end up on post office wall someday. Freaky. Got one, Kristen?
Have you seen the list of disturbing things that children have said about their imaginary friends?
Yeah, that's actually going to be on the next show. I actually got both of them.
Oh.
I looked up both of them, but that list was like way too long. I had to go through a lot of. It's like 18 pages worth of creepy things kids say to their parents. So I figured we'd hold off on the creepy imaginary friend thing because I know that's like a fucking goldmine of creepy shit, for sure. Oh, that was definitely a good one. I got one that says, "My niece was sleeping over at my parents' house one night. She had all the lights on in the spare room. I asked her if she was afraid of the dark, and she said, 'No, I'm afraid of what is in the dark.'" Which is, you know, I guess it's true and creepy at the same time. Of course, you're afraid of what's in the dark. You're afraid of the dark, you know? Essentially. Pretty good one.
I don't know. This one that I found earlier got me to thinking about it. was last week my 5-year-old son asked me, what do you see through the black circles in my eyes when you're controlling me when I'm at school? That one I thought was actually kind of cool.
That's pretty creepy thinking about, where does a kid come up, start thinking about, his parents controlling him like that? I mean, what was going through his head to be thinking, man, my parents are controlling me? Of course, you're going to be watching movies and, and he'll see something about hypnotism or mind control, and he can associate that with his parents, I guess. Make sure you go, Here's a good one for Halloween's coming up. When my son was little, I would sometimes hold him down and pretend to eat his face, saying, nom, nom, nom. One day, he said, I'll never eat your face, Mommy. I'll cut it off and wear it as a mask. So, yeah, little Mommy mask. I guess for Halloween. Which you're treating. Like Leatherface, I guess.
Leatherface?
Oh, whatever. Does he have, like, human skin as a mask or something? Or
yeah.
Isn't that Chainsaw, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yes.
Sorry, my brain is zoning in and out again.
it's okay. Mine does all the time. I'm on autopilot right now, anyways. I think it's the 40th anniversary of Texas Chainsaw Massacre's release. It's either coming up or has already passed. I know it's this year, and I think they're gonna doctor it up and add some, clean it up a little bit, and they're gonna re-release it.
Hmm.
So, if somebody wants to see that, can go. See it.
So it's going
to
be like another remake?
Well, I don't think it's going to be like Star Wars. It'll add CGI shit to it. But sometimes, they'll find like old, Gone with the Wind or something. They'll find the original movie and they'll clean it up. They'll take all the dust off of it and shit, and they'll re-release it like in the theaters or whatever to make it look all nice and shiny.
Oh, it's one of those
things. I mean, that was Star Wars. They added scenes to it. They added different shit to it. But I don't think they're going to do that with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They're actually talking about redoing The Birds. That's The Burbs. Tom Hanks. That would have been cool. With The Birds. With the, And Michael Bay, the director of Transformers, is the...
No.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I said when I heard. I mean, I guess I don't even know. You could add CGI birds to it, but I mean, does that really need to be remade? I don't think so. I mean, Godzilla, I can understand. Or King Kong even. But.
Well, King Kong was Peter Jackson.
Yeah, I know. So
not
King Kong,
I mean, not the first one, but
made. Yeah, but I don't see the base. I mean, because Alfred Hitchcock, it's a masterpiece. I mean, Birds wasn't really a masterpiece, but Alfred Hitchcock, you don't want to mess with a Hitchcockian movie, because it's like when they redid Psycho with Vince Vaughn. I mean, nobody really liked that movie. It's basically Psycho done word for word from the original. There's nothing really new about it, except the actors, of course.
I don't know. Like, I think some originals really shouldn't be touched. Like, they really shouldn't be remade. Like, remastered is completely different, but to have completely different people trying to act out the same parts when the original was just as good, if not better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should have remade King Kong exactly the way it was made the first time. They should have modified or just had a different telling of the story. Or like or the King Kong versus Godzilla or something like that.
Mm.
I remember seeing the Godzilla with Matthew Broderick. I don't know how long that shit came out, but it was like awful. Throw money and shit, and hope it sticks. Somebody that could be remade, like Vertigo, could probably be remade and made pretty good. And that's scary too. Not scary like creepy, but scary like heights thing and everything, and you know stuff like that. That could probably be pretty freaky. And the way they do it now with all the new ways they can do movies and stuff, but they can make that pretty cool. You know. Mm.
I just read one of the creepy things that kids have said.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one that made me laugh earlier. I was like, I jokingly asked my little cousin, what's the best way to get a girlfriend? His response was, tell her to be my girlfriend or she'll never see her parents again. Best line ever.
That is a pretty good pickup line, you know? Yeah. That is totally romantic. Way to the girl's heart. Here's one. When I was about 3 years old, our cat had kittens, but they all died. I asked my father if we could make crosses for them, which he did. As he was making them, I asked, aren't they too small? My dad said, what do you mean? I said, what, are we going to mail them? Are we going to nail them to them? Several moments of silence. My dad said, we're not going to do that. Little kitty crucifixion.
The perfect example as to why kids shouldn't be watching documentaries on like real life documentaries on Jesus. It's okay to sit there and read the Bible and you know watch children's shows about it, but when you get into like the whole
Because all they see is Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, they don't see the fact that he was alive when they did it. You know, put him on there.
Yeah.
Just assume every person who dies is going to end up on a cross. Or everything that dies. So, yeah, probably good to explain beforehand, hey, you know, this is what happened. This is what people believe. We don't nail kittens to the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry, I'm not very responsive. My phone service is cutting in and out, so I can hardly hear what's going on.
Oh. Well, you're fine. I mean, we're just talking about creepy things kids say to their parents, you know, and not talking about doing a public service announcement telling people not to nail kittens to crosses. That's bad. That is bad. Oh, man. You have any more, Kristen? Because I ran out.
I have one. It says, one day, totally out of the blue, my 5-year-old son said, before I was born here, I had a sister, right? Her and my other mom are so old now, they were okay when the car was on fire, but I sure wasn't.
That's creepy. That is creepy.
The other one I liked was, one day my 3-year-old son hugged my wife and said very seriously, Mom, I promise I won't ever chew on your bones. That kid had to be like a werewolf in a past life or something.
Something, yeah.
I promise, Mommy, I won't chew on your bones.
Here's one. Out of the blue, my 2-year-old daughter says, if you're quiet, you will stay alive. I still have no clue where that came from. Imagine a 2-year-old, it's like real stuff. It's like stuff you see in the movies, but it's like a real 2-year-old saying, if you're quiet, you'll stay alive. I mean, damn. If my 2-year-old said that, I'd be like, oh, crap, what's around me? And why do we need to be quiet? What before it's going to eat me? What are they going to do to me? Here's one. Last week, my 5-year-old son asked me, what do you see? Oh, that's one you christened already.
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was 6 years old, we moved to a different house. I said to my mother, the lady who used to live here told me that she hates the wallpaper and that you're covering up her notes. She just thought it was childish, rambling, and forgot all about it. 12 years later, my mother was redecorating the house. She took down the wallpaper in the attic and found a suicide note scratched in the wall.
Wow.
That's creepy. That's creepy as shit because, like actually kids seeing a suicide victim, most stuff is like more imaginary stuff like, oh, you know, if you're quite still alive, the devil may be doing it or stuff like that. But, you know, to actually have proof of it,
you can
learn that
and you can see it if you want.
I've got the radio thing. I don't know.
My wife was making a sandwich for our 4-year-old son. He was watching her really intently, and she asked what he was doing. He replied, I'm watching you make a sandwich, so I'll know how to do it when you die. Those are happy thoughts.
Another pretty bad one is when my mother was pregnant, my little brother came into the room and pointed a Nerf gun at her stomach. Oh, no, don't shoot me, is what my mom said playfully. He replied, don't worry, Mom, I'm not trying to kill you, I'm just trying to kill the baby. That's a little messed up.
Well, it's messed up, but also it could be maybe jealousy of the baby. If it's only the only child, he wants to be the only kid, only child still. I think with people, with kids watching these movies about killing, it is Hollywood and stuff like that. They think that killing make it so easy to kill someone that it's almost they're almost desensitized to it. They don't really grasp what they're saying.
That kind of coincides with the one about the lady that asked her nephew what he was drawing, and he replied that he was making a skeleton-making machine. And when she took a closer look at the picture, she found out that he was drawing a flesh-removal machine complete with screaming naked men and a channel for the blood.
Yeah. I mean, you got to ask what the hell they're watching on television or what they're talking about. Get that kind of imagery, to draw that kind of imagery. I mean, I was a kid, I would draw pictures of, like, you know, tanks making airplanes explode and stuff, but I always try to draw parachutes of the guys getting out of the planes and stuff like that. You know, even if I didn't, I wasn't thinking about death when I drew those pictures. I was thinking about destroying the airplane or destroying the tanks. I was thinking about the people inside of them. That wasn't even really even part of even I think when I was drawing those pictures, I thought it was cool to blow up shit. I was getting pictures, But I never drew pictures of like dead bodies or whatever. But it just makes you wonder these days with the internet,
speaking of drawing and stuff as a kid, I almost got expelled from elementary school because I did a flip book about how cavemen made ice cubes for water and stuff. And it was basically an ice cube on top of a rock and him taking a hammer and beating it. And they thought that I was plotting to do something extremely stupid. And I'm sitting here, I was like, are you kidding me? And I tried explaining it to them, and they had to get my parents involved. So
how did they come? Extremely stupid thing did they think you were going to do with a caveman beating an ice cube?
Apparently, there was a bunch of other students that were upset at the new teacher that was from overseas in like the British area, and they were saying all these nasty things that they would do to her, and they thought that since I knew some of the kids that I was in on this evil plotting. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. I just think it's hilarious when she says she's going to the loo.
You'd be like being taught by Mary Poppins or something. Does she like know, get you guys paint puppets and shit?
No, but she was a pretty strict teacher.
I've seen those British movies with those British governesses. You know, they can be pretty strict.
Yeah, there's no spoonful of sugar, let me tell you.
But, when they break out in the song, it makes everything better. She'd be firm, but as long as she sings you a song, it should be okay. It makes everything all right.
Yeah, if only grade school was like that.
Was like High School Musical. They have like grade school musical. My cars are going off today. I got resources. So we are going to talk about 3D places around the world, and there are a lot of them, and doing research on. Be honest with you guys. You know, I know very little about these places. Trying to do some research on these places. I'm not gonna bullshit you. It's hard to get all the information. I've got as much information as possible for you guys, and you know, I think some of these places are really creepy, scary. Just kind of weird. We're going to start off on our journey to the Island of Dolls, which is located in Mexico. There was an island in Mexico called Isla de Muñecas. That's really bad pronunciation. I apologize to all our Mexican fans out there. The Doll Island is located in one of the many canals located south of Mexico City near it's
Cocomico.
Yes. Starts with X, so it's X, so it throws me off. There's a man who lived on the island. His name was Don Julio Santana Barrera. I can't really roll my R's, but he lived on his island in one of the canals. And one day, a little girl drowned, I guess, nearby the island where he was staying. The funny part is, this Don Julio, he was married and had kids, but he had decided to come live on the island by himself. So he had a family on the mainland, but he decided to live on the island for some reason. Well, anyways, this little girl dies, and he thinks maybe it's his fault, or for some reason, he thinks that the little girl's spirit is mad at him. And in order to appease the little girl's spirit, he finds these dolls floating down the river. He'll go out to the river, fish them out. Doesn't matter if they're good shape or bad shape. They go in the river. He'll fish them out, and he'll hang them to the trees. This goes on. He was on the island for 50 years, and every time he'd see a doll, he would add it to a tree. So it got to the point where all the trees had these dolls hanging on them, you know. And through the years, the dolls would start decomposing. The eyeballs would fall out. The hair would get all messed up. Would fall out. The skin would be all, you know, parched. Spiders would make their homes in the dolls. The doll eyeballs would fall out. The spiders would make their homes in the holes where the eyes used to be. So you see spiders coming out of the holes where the eye used to be.
You're forgetting the missing limbs and all the stuffing that's hanging out, and you're going
yeah,
into
I mean,
great detail
pictures.
There. You stopped.
You can find pictures online of what I'm talking about. It's pretty creepy. But you know, he would keep on adding these dolls And pretty soon, the dolls started to become, you know, started having spirits, you know, attached to them themselves. You know, because the dolls would, he would keep adding the dolls to appease the little girl, to keep her from haunting him. And a lot of people thought that he had gone mad and thought he was saving real children. But one doll is not enough, and eventually all the trees were covered in these dirty, mutilated dolls. Didn't matter what they looked like, if they were new or old, he would hang them in trees. Don Julio died in 2001, and he was found drowned in the canal by his nephew. And some people say it was the spirits calling him to his death. The spirits called him to the canal, and he drowned. But that's just, you know, folklore, legend, or whatever. What are your thoughts, Krista, on this?
Well, I mean, you know, every legend has at least a little bit of truth to it. If people were thinking that the legend for it is going to sit there and come from the spirits calling him to his death, who's to say that his nephew wasn't possessed? You know, I only did a little bit of research on the Island of Dolls when I was working at Creepy Hollow, and we decided to have one section completely dedicated to scare people, and it worked so much better than clowns. I'm not going to lie on that. It worked so much better than clowns. Speaking on, you know, him collecting the dolls and everything like that, I do know that we have a clip that we had found on the Island of Dolls, and I'm going to sit here and play it for just a second.
Island of Dolls. This is the surreal side of Mexico, and Don Julian is quite happy to share his little friends with curious tourists. Don't go anywhere. You're going to stay right here, no?
You've been living here 23 years.
Are you usted pusiste las muñecas? You put the dolls here?
Yes, estaban.
Ah, they were already here.
Yes.
Ah, you cleaned her.
Sí,
take care of you?
Me cuidan.
They take care. Son espíritus.
Ándese.
They're like spirits. So he's going to show me his favorite doll.
Puede pasar.
Gracias.
Puede pasar y el que está en la esquinita está acostada, se fija usted.
¿Cuál es su favorita? ¿Esta? ¿With the sunglasses?
Sí, de los cafitos.
This is one of the creepiest places I have ever been to, and the strange thing is that he says that these dolls give him comfort. They're like spirits, and he takes care of them, and he cleans them off, and he's got all these, like, weird headdresses on some of them.
Okay, Holly, get on Facebook.
You're going to show me a fish that you caught yesterday? Una pescado that you caught yesterday? Oh, wow, that's a nice fish.
This is de ayer.
Sí, qué bonita. This is just, like, one of the creepiest things I have ever seen in my entire life. And he's just blissed out with all these dolls. They're his protectors, his spirits, he cleans them off. He's not bothered that most of them don't have legs or heads or eyeballs. This is such a weird place.
So that was a clip that we were able to look at on YouTube, and it gives you a gist of what the Island of Dolls is about. And actually, if you heard, listen closely, you can actually hear the voice of Don Julio himself on that clip. who's talking in Spanish. But, you know, figure give you a gist of what's going on there. And I can't imagine living in a place like that where you're surrounded by these dolls. I mean, I think dolls are creepy to begin with. Like the little doll baby thing in Toy Story with the, you know, eight legs and the eye missing. I guess it was what was that kid's name in Toy Story? Was it Spike or the guy who lived, Billy or whatever his name was, the guy who lived next door to Andy's house? And I remember Buzz and Woody were stuck in his house, and this little baby doll thing came out with these eight legs and had the hair missing and the eyes, one of the eyes was missing. Really kind of creepy. But, I mean, being there during the day would be one thing. I could probably deal with it during the day, but to be there at night would be like, holy shit. I would get like no sleep. Or I guess I'd get a ton of sleep, but I wouldn't want to open my eyes. That would be scary as all hell, man, for sure. But, you know, I guess he said he found comfort in the dolls. I guess it didn't bother him having the dolls there.
I actually hate to backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
But I was just told something interesting by Jimmy. Apparently, when his brother was younger, around 3 or 4 years old, he told his mom that, I'm sorry, he said that he will be with the angels soon and they will always watch over you, Mom, because I love you. Apparently, it had his mother freaking out for weeks. That is a little out there too.
that's creepy. Oh, I got one. Rihanna saw that my sister was pregnant. And she looked at, you know, Amy's, you know, stomach, and she asked her, how did the baby get in there? Did you eat him?
Maybe it's a sense of humor, but it makes me want to giggle.
Yeah, I did. I laughed.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad.
On a sadder note, super kind of personal, another thing my grandma had said, after my mom passed away when she was like 3 years old, And she remembered seeing the flowers at her gravesite. And so every time she would pass by flowers anywhere, no matter where it was, she would say, hi, Grandma. So we could pass by flowers at the mall, hi, Grandma. Pass by flowers at the park, hi, Grandma. Anywhere that she went, she would say hi to her grandma. Thought that was pretty, not creepy, but just, you know, funny thing. It'd be kind of funny things kids say, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, would you want to spend the night at the Island of Dolls, Kristen?
I wouldn't want to, but if I didn't have any other choice, I think I would grow the cojones and do it just for one night.
That's rather than swim across the canals with all the alligators, I'd probably do it too. I'm thinking road trip. What do you girls think?
I didn't hear what you said because I kind of said road trip. I'm sorry.
I'm game.
There you go. All right. Sweet.
So we're going to go down to Mexico?
Hell yeah. We'll go to Mexico, Cancun. We'll just
don't
really
drink the water.
No. No, we'll drink a lot of tequila, get some liquid courage, and then drive out there. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to Island of Dolls with people, but I wouldn't want to go there by myself. At night, during the day, yeah, that's fine. But at night, I would probably want to be with.
I think we have our next year's camping trip planned out.
I think we do. I mean, bring me off, because I'm sure it's a jungle, so we're like mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds out there.
We have a year to save up.
Yeah. I mean, how expensive can it be? It's Mexico. I mean, geez.
You never know.
Yeah.
On a corresponding note to Doll Island, something that's kind of similar, except with a little bit more of a twist to it, the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh, yes.
That kind of has a similar story.
The Sir Winchester's Mansion.
Yeah. We were reading about it earlier, right after we were talking about the Island of Dolls, how the guy would collect the dolls and put them in the trees. Well, with Sarah Winchester, she was told by a medium that she had gone to in Boston, and she was told that she is haunted by the spirits that were killed by the Winchester rifles. And if she would never stop building on a house, she wouldn't die. Why her house is the way it is, which I think that would be an awesome place to visit.
Oh, yeah, I've always wanted to visit that house.
I mean, come on, there's stairs leading up to a ceiling, and that's it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, what she did was she built all this weird stuff to confuse the spirits. So she'd have doors leading to nowhere, stairs leading to the ceiling. You know, you open up a door and there's a 10-foot drop. And the way she figured is, if it makes this house confusing enough, the spirits would never be able to find me. So she had crews working 24/7, constantly bailing onto the house. Because the spirit medium told her, this is back when like mediums and seances and spiritualism and all that stuff was starting to really pick up. And the medium told her, if she ever stops building, the spirits will come take her. So there's no break. There's no, like, you work 9 to 5, come back, work, start in the morning. No, you work. Yet she had crews working 24/7. And she had the money to do it because she was with Winchester rifles. She had all the money in the world to pay these people. And the only time that they stopped working is when she died. That's when they found out she had passed away, they put their tools down and walked off. Finally able to stop. But she was appeasing the spirits by building and trying to confuse the spirits at the same time. And Don Julia was trying to appease the spirits by finding the dolls for them.
It's kind of like the dolls were a distraction. And instead of, like, them being able to roam the island and try to find him and haunt him, they were distracted by the dolls. And were like, oh, look, shiny. Let's go play with this.
Like the scrolling up. Oh, I'm squirrel. Oh, doll. Shiny objects.
Yeah. It's a shame they didn't like coffee.
Like shiny objects.
It's a possibility.
It sounds about right. I mean these two stories are similar because they have the same premise. You know, you do what you can, people do what they can on Earth to appease the spirits and say they don't take them away. Listening to the little clip we found, Don Julio actually greeted care for these dolls and believed that the dolls were protecting him. from the spirit of the little girl. Now, I don't know why he thinks that the little girl was trying to haunt him. Maybe she thought that since he was the closest person to him, that he should have tried harder to save her. I don't even know if he was even aware that she was drowning until, you know, he found the body or whatever. So I don't know why he thinks that the little girl was trying to haunt him. But a lot of these stories are, you know, passed down, word of mouth type. You know, some of the details are left out. So,
yeah.
Talk about creepy places, even around here. If you go to Radford and you look up, you go across the, your town of Radford across the river, and you say St. Albans Sanitarium, overlooking the river on, you know, it sits there. It's an old abandoned sanitarium that sits on a big hill overlooking Radford. It's really creepy looking. It's a big building and lots of reported activity in that building. And there's a lot of places all over the place that are creepy as hell. And some have good stories, some like the one Fifth of Mystery House in the Doll Island. You know? Brownsville Penitentiary looks creepy. Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. I mean, shoot, anything that has the word lunatic and asylum in it is going to be creepy. It could be like the Happy Candy Cane Acres Cotton Candy flavored Lunatic Asylum. Add the name Lunatic Asylum to the end of anything else, it just sounds creepy. You know? It could be the Caravan Lunatic Asylum. Creepy. You know? My pretty pony, Lunatic Asylum. You think I'll have me ponies in Lunatic Asylum? Oh, shit. Creep my ass out.
For some reason, I have a feeling that I would stay away from places with the academy attached to the name for some reason. Asylum doesn't really have to... I can't find the words I'm gasping for.
Babel Academy, I'm not creeped out by that. You know?
Looking at how horrible the death could be at a Naval Academy.
If I heard the Naval Lunatic Asylum. I mean, as far as you know, paranormal stuff, I had to go right to it. Because I want to get evidence. Don't get me wrong. But it's not, if I saw an old creepy, like, big building and there's coming up with vines and there's, you know, stuff's falling apart, windows are knocked out. I want to walk in there by myself, you know. But if there's an academy, I guess it doesn't matter. If it looks creepy on the outside, I'd probably find something to go in there with, because I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to shit like that. Going shit by myself. I don't care if it's a fucking abandoned lollipop factory. If it looks creepy, I'll find someone to go in there with it.
It's a lollipop factory.
You don't know. There could be some lollipop related deaths in that factory.
Hmm.
You never know the stories. And plus, if something cool happened, I'd want someone to go and to validate my story. Because if you make a hole in one by yourself, did it really happen? You can say it happened all day long, but shit, no one else saw it, so it's your word. You know, everyone will have that twinge of doubt. Like, did it really happen? Did you really see something? You know, and plus, it's always a safety factor, too. I mean, that's obvious. Something happens, you want to have someone there to, you know, to come to help you out, whatever. But if something happens, you want someone there to validate the story. Safety first. There are safety numbers, right? Always use the buddy system. speak of always having some with you. If you decide to go visit the suicide forest in Japan, always bring a buddy, because apparently people like to kill themselves in the suicide forest. Imagine that. People want to kill themselves in the suicide forest. Yeah, there's actually a place in Japan called Suicide Forest. It's in, I'm trying to pronounce the word, but it's Akikagahara Forest pronunciation. I've been trying to get it right all night long, but I just keep fucking it up. It's also known as Suicide Forest or Sea of Trees, and lies at the northwest base of Mount Fuji. The forest actually has an historic association with demons in Japanese mythology. The forest is a popular place for suicides. In 2003, 105 bodies were found in the forest. And to show how much the suicide rate jumped in about 7 years, in 2010, 247 people attempted suicide there. The Japanese authorities are really trying to discourage the mythology or kind of downplay the fact that so many people are trying to commit suicide there, so that they don't want the Japanese people to find it romantic to go to this forest and commit suicide. People have like suicide packs, like if you don't make it, we'll go to the suicide forest and we'll kill each other and stuff like that. They wanted to kind of downplay it so that maybe the reports of suicides, they are not accurate, because they want to downplay the number of people who have committed suicide there. Because, like I said, they want to downplay the historic role of suicides in this particular location. They said suicides are set to increase in March. That's the end of the fiscal year in Japan. So if, say, you made a few bad business decisions and you in the fiscal year drowning in debt and you don't have any way to get out, maybe people think the best idea, which was never a good idea, but people who they'll take it right. They'll look at suicide as the best option, which it never is, of course. But in 2011, the most common means of suicide was what they found at the forest or hanging. And drug overdose. And there is the walking in the forest, and you see these corpses hanging, and these people wouldn't take the jewelry off of them. They wouldn't leave the jewelry at home, or their watches, or their rings, and their money. Take them all with them, and pretty soon, obviously, they're sitting out, and people would start taking the jewelry and stuff and money and rings off of these suicide victims. So, it'd be suicide and then grave robbing all in the same area. So, and the Japanese government actually put signs all throughout the forest saying, think of your family, suicide is not the right way to go. She would put phone numbers down for you to call if you need help. And then now they have policemen to roam the grounds. And if they see someone walking in the forest, they'll stop and ask them, what are they doing here? And if it looks like they're stressed out or disheveled or just try to talk him or her down out of it and try to send them back home. So, I mean, I don't know if you place, because, I mean, lots of times some of the bodies aren't found. You could be walking around walk and have a nice peaceful day at the park, and you look in the street and you see someone hanging there. That's creepy. What do you think, Krista?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, that just kind of left me speechless. I was like, wait a minute, what? He's walking around, and next thing you know, just like, hey. What's up?
What is about that forest that made people believe that this is a good place for me to kill myself? Again, never a good idea. But being devil's being, just talk about what drives people to do that and what drives them to come to that location and do it.
I have no idea, but the sign, the picture with the sign and then the caption of what it meant, that's a pretty good deterrent.
I think they're making that shit up. The bear will poop on your corpse.
If it was real, though, that's a pretty good deterrent.
Like I said, the bear will poop on your corpse if the bear decides to eat you or anything. But again, we're not making fun. We're not talking fun at that. It's very, very serious thing. And it sucks that people feel, you know, that people get so stressed out that they think there is no hope. And there's always hope. There's always someone you can talk to if you're ever feeling, you know, that way. You know, definitely people to call and, you know, stuff like that for sure. You know, there was another location that I found. I think it's called the Overton Bridge in Scotland. I'm sorry, I am actually doing research as we speak right now. This is how dedicated I am to you people. I'm trying to find some more TV places.
Yes.
I love my audience. There it is, Overton Bridge. Okay.
Alright, this is Overton Bridge.
Good, I thought I looked it up. Okay. Christian. Tell me about the Overton Bridge.
That one is in Dumbarton. There haven't really been any human beings have died there apparently in the past couple of centuries, or the last two decades, I'm sorry. But for dogs and four-legged furry creatures, it's not the best place to go because they decide that they're going to plunge to their deaths into the water below. There's no real, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no real explanation for it. People have seen dogs willingly go up and climb onto the edge of the bridge and then just all of a sudden just leap off with these of their own free will. Nobody's pushing them. Nobody's calling them from below. They're just jumping. And it's gotten up to, I believe, about 600 dogs. I think it used to be like one dog per month. So that was definitely an interesting read. A little saddening on my part to read it because I'm one of those four-legged furry lovers. If my dog decided that it would be okay to jump on her own off of a bridge, I damn well would be jumping over the bridge after her.
It makes you wonder what actually is causing these dogs to do that. You know, what? Maybe one dog is like, oh, it's an accident. Okay, well, it's sad. But you know, it's just an accident. Two dogs are like, oh, well, that's weird. Okay, and then three dogs, it's like, and it's more and more like, okay, there's something going on. So, yeah, that's pretty freaky, pretty scary stuff. Because, you know, like I said, you don't know what they're doing. I mean, there could be a dog right now jumping off the bridge. We don't know. Hopefully it does not. I've heard of like lemmings, I guess, jumping off the cliffs into the water, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty freaky, pretty scary stuff.
You can't compare lemmings to dogs.
No, I can't, but still. I mean, why do lemmings jump on cliffs? It's the same. It's just, you know, you don't know. I mean,
I blame that on genetics.
I don't even know if I've ever even seen a lemming. Is it like a mouse or something, or like a freaking hamster looking thing?
Kinda. Yeah, it's like a mix between a groundhog and a gerbil, maybe. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Not the smartest animals. Not the smartest animals in the world, though. That's for sure. Jumping off, killing themselves, throwing themselves into water. Of course, you have, like, abandoned places. Like, okay, yeah. Like Chernobyl, that is pretty creepy. Right now, anything bad. I think abandoned places like the amusement parks, like Boblo Island in Canada, which is actually amusement park that I used to frequent out when I was a child. We would drive up to Michigan and visit my grandparents up there, and we would take a day and we'd drive. We'd go to this amusement park in Canada called Boblo Island. We'd take the Boblo boat from Detroit. We were talking Detroit, and we'd take like a 45-minute boat ride to this park. And it had all the roller coasters and stuff, and it was a very nice amusement park. You know, it carousels, bumper cars, and all that stuff. Make a day out of it, come home, and you know, I'd always thought it would be there, and it closed down. It closed down in the early '90s, and hadn't even thought about it for years. And with the advent of YouTube, I was banned in the amusement park, so I'm like, okay, I'll check out Boblo Island. And sure enough, there it was. You know, Boblo Island, right there. And it's creepy. Stuff that, you know, actually have pictures of when I was a kid there at my father and my grandma's house, and I could see the places that used to be there, all these videos, and it was like, oh my goodness. It's like seeing a part of my childhood rot away. You know, but we're here at the top of the hour, and we're going to step away for a few minutes, and we'll be back in a few.
Never had. sweat. And for all your suckers that don't know, check it out. Some of them try to run, but they can't run like this. Some of them try to run, but they can't run like this.
Back, sorry. I'm in new to this whole board thing. I found a cool article. We're taking a trip down to southern Brazil. Okay. I'm actually reading the article because I had a chance to actually read through it. I'm going to read it to you. Way down southern Brazil, about 20 miles west of El Bumpo, nowhere, there lies the peaceful little town of Candido Godoy, also known as the joint capital of the world. That's not the creepy part. After all, we have nothing against twins, and that's good because Candido Godoy is actually nicknamed the Land of Twins because of the unnaturally high rate of identical twin births among its inhabitants. What exactly is unnaturally high? About 18 times higher than the world average, meaning that 1 in 5 pregnant couples in the town are guaranteed a 2-for-1 deal on their bundle of joy. Here's the creepy part. There is a distinct possibility that all those twins are the direct result of the experimentation of famous Nazi doctor. That is a theory proposed by Jorge Camarasa, an Argentinian historian and an expert on Nazi war criminal in Auschwitz chief physician Mengele, also known as the Angel of Death. Mengele, a bona fide mad scientist who was fascinated with twins and fled to South America after World War II, was identified by Camarasa and a few Candido Godoy elders as a mysterious German doctor who appeared in the area around 1963. He first posed as a vet, but soon started offering medical services to the ladies of the predominantly German settlement. Soon after that, the bizarre twin birth supposedly started. Unfortunately, science, being the party-pooping nerd that it is, chipped in by claiming that Mengele couldn't have had the means to orchestrate a genetics experiment of those proportions. Though, according to a group of Brazilian scientists, the unusually high twin birth rate can be easily explained by inbreeding or exposure to toxic waste. So, take your pick. Either Candido Godoy was in an experiment to create a race of perfect Aryan children, performed by Nazi nicknamed Angel of Death, or it's just a secluded Brazilian town full of identical blonde twins whose hobbies include inbreeding and hanging around toxic waste. Oh, that's creepy. You can think that Joseph Mengele's experiments were going on way after World War II. Alan said Civil War. I don't know where I came from. That's pretty creepy. I mean, he's a pretty creepy guy to begin with. I found that to be really, really kind of creepy. Just the people involved. And I guess the whole hanging out by toxic waste.
Well, I mean, instead of it being creepy, I mean, it seems like it's a debate against whether or not it's science versus where they're living and how they're living.
And it's also the argument of messing with human genetics, too. A lot of scientists think they could create a perfect human by playing God.
Okay, I'm going to chime in.
Okay. Oh.
Your technical difficulties are fixed.
Yeah, I can hardly understand what's going on. Did you already mention the one that I brought up?
You were talking about the suicide island in Japan?
Aokigahara?
Yeah.
Yeah, the suicide island we talked about. That
suicide forest?
On that island.
Okay.
Yeah, suicide forest. What are your
thoughts
on
that?
Bad.
See, I don't know if it's my service or one of y'all, but somebody's cutting in and out, and, like, I can only understand what you're saying half the time.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I know Kristen said she wasn't sure
it's
if she was having
you,
service
Ryan.
Or not. So it is? Oh,
it's
well.
You.
Okay. Well, I will. Well, yeah, because I guess I have a hard time texting you anyways with my phone and your phone. So now I can text, but I can't talk to you on the phone.
Yeah, I just need to go ahead and get that new phone today.
No, go ahead.
No, it's cool. I was going to say the reason you lost me at the beginning of the show is because my phone froze up, so I'm going to have to just go get a new
phone. Well, like I said, he actually did talk about the suicide force, and we just gave the facts about it. What do you think? I mean, we're talking about suicides, you know, we're trying to figure out why people would go to that particular location to kill themselves. What is it built up romanticism now that it almost seems like a cool thing to do? Again, suicide's never cool. Again, never the answer.
I mean, I don't know, because you've seen where, like, people will go to the Golden Gate Bridge and jump off, or, you know, even in Richmond, those tower down on Belvedere, the big building, people jump out of that. I mean, it's like once one person does it, it's...
But you also don't wonder if people who are doing that, jumping off buildings like that, one particular building, go to one particular forest, are they doing it to make a statement? Because if you want to convince me, if you want to do something like that, it's pretty easy. If you want to, you can do it, you know. It's other ways to do it, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But driving to the Golden Gate Bridge, doing this, jumping off the Tower of London,
I said, Howie said it's not just me having issues with you. It sounds like you're like the phone is backing away or something. Like you're backing away from the phone.
Oh, is this better? I hope.
I guess so. Anyway, continue on.
I'm trying to figure out because I mean. You go to these like historic locations, like the Golden Gate Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge or places like that. You jump off of it. You know, there are other ways. You want to do it at your own house. Why go to these places to kill yourself when there are easier ways of doing it? Again, I'm not saying it's a good idea. It's a bad idea. But these places have significance to them. Trying to figure out what this significance is might help to, I guess, stop people from going there, maybe, and help people understand why these people are going to these places and maybe stop them ahead of time. You know, something to think about, you know.
Yeah.
But apparently the place is a really, really very peaceful place.
And since we were talking about bridges, I don't know, my brain is going in a completely different direction. There's a bridge called Crawford Bridge, or Crawford Road Bridge in Yorktown. And
Virginia.
Oh, yeah, Yorktown, Virginia, my bad. The nickname for it is Crybaby Bridge, and there's a couple of different stories that revolve around it. A lot of people think that it's haunted. There's been stories of driving down the road and seeing people, they see a young black woman in a white dress walking across the bridge, and then all of a sudden she jumps off and she's hanging in midair like she's hung herself. They've had stories of cars going underneath the bridge, and as soon as they get underneath of it, the car would shut down and wouldn't start. And they heard thumps on the roof of their cars, and it sounded like something would kind of squeak down the back window, thud onto the trunk, and then roll off onto the road.
Huh.
Let's see. What else did I read? I've got notes written down. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
It could be Russian we could actually do. Pilot to the good old Hunt Pilot, drive down the Crawford Road and see what happens. So,
I mean, it's not going to be far from Newport News.
No, and a lot more good old than Doll Island is at this point.
I mean, there's a lot of history surrounding the place, especially with, like, the slaving industry, lynchings, murders of Native Americans, because it's right around Yorktown, Hampton Harbor area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's in one of my books, I was reading about weird places around here. And Crawford Bridge is actually in that book. There's a cemetery in Richmond and off not near 9 Mile Road called Evergreen Cemetery, and it's that old abandoned, not cared for anymore, African American cemetery, and you can tell that it's not cared for. I mean, there are graves covered in vines, grass, and woods have taken over. Mother Nature has taken over that cemetery. There is a crypt, a mausoleum that's been broken into. You look in there, you can see the caskets inside. They actually had to have the bodies removed because people were desecrating the graves, and they had the bodies removed. So the bodies are no longer in the crypt. There was a telephone sitting outside. We've been to this location, and it is amazing how much work this place needs. It is it's really sad when you see these graves that are left uncared for. You see these things, and you look out, and you look in the woods, and you can see graves, and you walk around, and you can trip up on graves that are covered up with all this ivy and stuff.
And it's like people forgot, or they just don't care.
Well, yeah, then people move, families move away, and the problem with the cemetery is that it's not a perpetual care cemetery. So it's pretty much your family passes away, your family takes care of your graves. Throughout the years, families move away. There's no one there to take care of the graves. I know up in Michigan, my grandparents, their graves, when they were buried, their graves were good. The neighborhoods were good.
Yeah.
Now they're buried in Detroit. No one would dare go to take care of the graves because it's like in the ghetto now. So I mean, all these So my own great grandparents, they're the same situation that the people in Dale are. There's no one there to take care of them.
Yeah.
It's sad. But there's certain graveyards, certain cemeteries, it's either perpetual care, which means it's like at Hollywood Cemetery is perpetual care. There'll always be someone to take care of the graves. Westover Memorial Gardens, that's perpetual care. That's, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, I'm way off topic. No, I'm not. We're talking about cemeteries and graves and stuff.
Yes, creepy places. Creepy places, creepy cemeteries. We're talking about Evergreen.
Well, beyond Evergreen, this is a place in the Philippines. It's called Kabayan. I can't pronounce it. It's K-A-B-A-Y-A-N.
Welcome to the club. I can't pronounce anything either.
It's a collection of man-made caves in the Philippines, and each of the caves is filled with mummies. There are so many caves that it's easy to get lost, and there's thousands of mummies. And, like, it's got pictures. Oh, my God, it looks so cool. So cool. They're really creepy.
That is creepy. A mummy cave. Oh, wow. That is freaky. All right.
Hellingley Hospital in East Sussex, England.
I actually saw that. The name Hellingley.
It's been abandoned since 1994. It opened in 1903, and the patients were lobotomized and electrocuted for 90 years. Like, that was the whole span of it. That's freaking nuts. The pictures to go with that are really cool, too.
That is really freaky. Yeah, because it's even the name Hellingley Hospital, you're thinking, okay,
yeah.
He has the word. It could be, might as well be called Creepy McCreepersville. You know. But yeah, anything.
With you having talked about, the bridge. I'm sure you guys know Bunny Man Bridge. Where'd you guys go?
I'm right here.
Oh, you got really quiet.
Right here, sorry. Sorry about that. My phone went out for a second.
I asked you a question, okay?
Well, I didn't hear you. My phone went out for a second. What's your question?
I asked if you guys knew much about the Bunny Man Bridge.
Oh, yes.
That one I haven't heard of.
That's up in Northern Virginia, I believe.
Yeah, it's up in Northern Virginia. Let me see if I still have the article up. I had it up earlier. Dang it. I can't remember exactly where it is, but I know it's Northern Virginia.
I think it's in Fairfax area. Like Fairfax, Alexandria, all that general area.
It is called Colchester Pass, or Colchester Overpass. Yeah, it's in Fairfax County. The urban legend from it originated from two different incidents in 1970. And there's a whole bunch of variations to it, but the big legend is the man wearing a rabbit costume who jacks people with an axe.
Yeah, I heard that there was an inmate escaped from an island where like a prison bus or something, and two inmates escaped
The biggest known legend with a suspect and a specific in the late 90s It's in 1904, an asylum in Clifton, Virginia, was shut down by a petition of the population of residents in Fairfax. During the transfer of inmates, the transport carrying the inmates crashed and some prisoners escaped. A search party finds all but one of them. During that time, locals allegedly began to find hundreds of skinned, half-eaten rabbit carcasses hanging from the trees in the surrounding area. Another search of the area occurred, and the police located the remains of one Marcus Walster, left in a similar fashion to the rest.
What? So, I'm pretty sure I heard you correctly when you were saying that animals hanging from trees. Hello?
Yeah. I would say, so they found, like, bunnies hanging from trees, I guess.
Amber?
Did she call drop out again?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, we understand she's having technical difficulties.
There you go.
Ha-ha.
I came on and was, like, hitting the button a bunch of times. Yes, rabbit carcasses were found. Yeah, my service sucks. I don't know what it is, but
good job.
Yeah, the Marcus Walster guy. He was left in a similar fashion to the rabbit carcasses. He was found under the bridge overpass, known locally as Bloody Man Bridge. The officials named the last missing inmate Douglas J. Griffin as their suspect and called him the Bunny Man. In that version of it, officials managed to locate him, but he escapes and then is hit by an oncoming train where the original transport crashed. They say after the train passed, police said they heard laughter coming from the site. It's eventually revealed that the man was institutionalized for killing his family and children on Easter Sunday.
That is freaky. That is the fact that, you know, I think the fact that they, you know, have a guy even, I actually read a story that about there's a guy actually dressed up as a bunny rabbit, like a psycho Easter bunny. He would chase people with an axe. And he would, if he went to a certain part of town, certain part near the bridge or whatever. So different, there are different variations of the story. Each one. You know, creepy, but, you know, there's an axe-wielding guy dressed up in a Easter Bunny outfit, you know. that would be pretty scary as well, you know. And Kristen is leaving the FAP studio to head.
Oh.
Kristen will be there.
We're still talking. I've ignored a phone call, and I can see how that conversation is going to be when I walk through the door.
Just call back, and I'll let you back on.
Okay. All right, I will be back.
Okay. I actually found an article. It's called The Smoke Corpses of Papua New Guinea. This is an island off of this near New Zealand. It says, have you ever been at someone's house? Notice that they have their grandpa's ashes on display in the living room. They thought that was a little too morbid. They stopped reading, which is a sort of a smoked, kind of like a body with looked at, like, also like a smoked ham. That's how the Kutu people of Asiki and Papua New Guinea remember their grandpas. When the family is touching over a lost relative, they simply look up at the smoked corpses, watch over their village from their comfy wooden gallery and say, oh, wait, there he is. Hey, Gramps. And yes, we said smoke corpses, as in they hold a dead body over a fire, then wait until the smoke sucks out the moisture and adds some antibacterial magic that infuses it with the yummy flavor of mesquite. But they're not still doing this today, right? They totally are. When a tribe member kicks a bucket, sometimes the relatives go for Christian burials, and sometimes they just throw the bodies over the fire for smoking. To quicken the process, the relatives repeatedly stab the body to melt out its fluids, which makes it, you know, and they draw out soft, easily decomposable organs through an anal spigot. Yeah. I said that, yeah, I heard right. An anal spigot. Yeah. I definitely don't want an anal spigot. For sure. Damn, goddamn, it makes me think like someone put like a faucet in my in your ass, turning it, you know, like a spigot, and all the shit coming out. Whew. Some of these joint bodies are put away in caves, but others, presumably the pretty ones, find themselves perched out way out the open. The tutu use a very bamboo frame that supports the body while at home roosting over the flame to carry it to the cliff top. Then the frame goes on supporting the mummified body as it gazes upon the village below. And the best part? You can absolutely run into this morbid spectacle while visiting the region. Check out this. There's actually a video that goes along with the article. I would have actually tried to put the video on through an MP3 and try to play it for you, but all it's just music. And then they actually show the smoked corpses. But another, I'm sorry, were you saying something?
No, I coughed.
Okay. Hey, you back?
I'm back.
Welcome back. There's actually another creepy place that something to think about, but it's actually pretty famous. It's a little hill called Mount Everest. Every year, hundreds of people pay thousands of dollars for the privilege of getting to climb Mount Everest. But what the Nepalese tourism board doesn't exactly like to advertise is that around 240 climbers have died trying to make the summit, and most of them are still up there. In fact, there's a section of the mountain called Rainbow Valley, where dozens of bodies are visible due to their bright-colored jackets. Climbing isn't really that hard. It's like being on a Stairmaster for a really long time. But it's the altitude that gets you. Once you get past the 26,000 foot mark, you enter
the death zone.
There's so little oxygen at that altitude that the human body can't survive. So basically, if you stay there for too long, you start slowly turning into Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining. Some people just tip over from exhaustion and stay in that position forever. And yes, many of these bodies are on the route that climbers usually take. One such body is that of British climber David Sharp, who didn't bring enough oxygen, got tired, and sat down to rest in a small cave near the peak that was already inhabited by another dead climber known as Green Boots. Later, a group of climbers passed by and saw Sharp sitting there with half his body frozen. That's when he mumbled his name. So these people, the climbers passed by him. He's still alive, but he can't move. And they realized he was still alive. He was even filmed when a documentary crew walked past.
Nothing.
But there was nothing they could do for him. In the death zone, people can barely walk, let alone carry a body. That's why Nepal doesn't just go up there and get and remove bodies. Many who have tried have ended up joining them. But hey, at least these people end up serving as reference markers for other climbers. So I guess when people say, do you see Green Boots? Take a left, or you're almost there. So yeah, that's pretty scary.
I think the worst part about that
is the fact that, you know, the people saw him there, but they really couldn't do anything about it, not just because of his condition, but because of the fact that there's not enough air to be able to lift anybody or to try to assist them the way down.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's almost like a lesson with consciousness, too, because it's almost like, get down to the bottom, you got to tell yourself there's nothing I can do about it. But, you know, at the same time, it's hard to deal with that kind of stuff mentally. You know, because you always think there's something I could have done, even though you know there was nothing you could do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's obviously a situation. And, you know, being in Mount Everest, you're tired as all hell. You're cold.
I am shocked that you guys have not mentioned Pripyat.
What? I have no idea what that is.
It's in the Ukraine. You don't know Pripyat?
is it part of Chernobyl?
Yeah. It was the
okay.
The ninth nuclear city in the Soviet. It was officially proclaimed a city in 1979. It had grown to a population of 49,360 people before being evacuated a few days before the Chernobyl disaster. And, yeah, that's the one they made a movie about.
Is that the one
Not
with
a
the,
real
the big abandoned, the pictures of the
Takanomura or whatever?
A Ferris
in Japan.
Wheel. Big Ferris wheel. They have like the emptied bumper cars and stuff. Takata Konuma Greenland Park in Japan. My God, these things are so hard to pronounce. Takonuma Greenland Park in Japan. Today's day is abandoned by not only by people, but also by joy, hope, and forced belief that life ends in anything but lifeless, hollow death. The amusement park had first opened in Hobara in 1973, but abruptly was closed only 2 years later. Some say it was because of poor ticket sales. You what?
Yeah, I was just reading about that one. There's also one in China. The one in China is called Wonderland Amusement Park Chenhuang Village, and it's 45 minutes from Beijing.
Yeah, Jimmy had mentioned something earlier. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Jimmy mentioned something earlier about a city in Japan that was, I don't know if it was dedicated completely to the dead or if it was just a completely dead city. And I tried looking it up earlier, and the only thing it came up with was it's like a completely abandoned city that nobody can really live in.
Are you talking about the island?
I think so.
Hiroshima?
Huh?
It's near Hiroshima. It's near Nagasaki. It used to be one of the most densely populated places on Earth, and now it's just a completely abandoned island. In 1890, Mitsubishi bought the island and started a project to remove coal from the ocean, but obviously that didn't work. So.
I have thought of one. It's actually, unless freaky, it's called the Kings Park Psychiatric Center. Yes, it's hard to do one of these articles without putting one or two close talents on the list. Hell, you can't find an abandoned mental hospital that doesn't look like it's all separate with the house of the damned. That brings us to Long Island, New York, where you'll find the closest thing we have to a real-life version of Arkham Asylum, the abandoned Kings Park Psychiatric Center, or as they called it, the Lunatic Farm. It's just the kind of place where you could imagine deranged clowns and animal-themed villains roaming the halls. The idea behind the first version of the site in 1885 was rather noble. Instead of the nightmares Tim Burton wet dream that became the Suffolk County facility, was supposed to provide a rural breath of fresh air where patients could go relatively unconfined. There's just one problem. As a Big Apple chewing on its residents' sanity, Asylum just kept filling with patients. And as the numbers grew, the staff's goodwill towards them faded. By 1954, Kings Park had essentially become the overcrowded, poop-stained madhouse prison it had been specifically created to fight against. In fact, with 9,300 patients, the 125-building, 800-acre asylum was actually bigger than the neighboring town, because nothing bad could ever come of keeping 9,000 criminally insane people just one shanked prison guard away from overrunning downtown New York. Today, the complex stands in a state of abandoned, partially reclaimed by nature, and if you believe in ghosts, completely reclaimed by the vengeful spirits of its patients, especially the ones from its most lobotomy and electroshock therapy happy era. People report sightings of ghostly sobbing maidens, sudden temperature drops, and poltergeist activity. There are hundreds of rumors. There are even rumors of hidden cave chambers in its many underground tunnels. Who are we to argue? So, yeah, that's on. And actually, I'm actually on this website called crack.com. That's where we got this information from, and there's a picture of it. And it's pretty freaky, pretty scary. It's actually really pretty, very big building. This is almost like a giant hotel. See what else is there.
Mm-hmm.
This is real life stuff we're doing here. Trying to get you guys some good articles here. Here's what. The city of St. Petersburg is called the Plague Fortress of St. Petersburg. The city of St. Petersburg, I'm thinking Russia, not Florida, has seen its fair share of horror. From bloodthirsty czars, there's Russia, to four Nazi sieges. A metropolis with millions of people and a long history, it is no surprise that the history of the city has a dark secret lurking within its murky underbelly.
Because,
the first ship we see to enter St. Petersburg is a bona fide horror
citadel.
Fort Emperor Alexander I, heavily fortified island just up the coast of the city, getting visiting ships with a kind of middle finger only ominous dark structure with 103 gun force can provide. The innards of Fort Alexander are a textbook example of the sort of balls out creepiness that would make Scooby-Doo gang call ass out their first creaking door. It's a interior design features claustrophobic dungeon corridors, rusty maze-like iron stairs, and a ghostly huddle of tortured souls filling your ears with Slavic whispers of the terrifying experiments they were subjected to.
Because, of course,
there were terrifying experiments. Fort Alexander's ghastly terrors is by far the least threatening about it. The place has another far more widespread name, the Fort Plague. When the late 19th century scientists smacked Russia with a sack full of pestilence, the officials took a look at Fort Alexander, decided it would make a mighty fine place for a secret laboratory where their mad science could poke at the disease. All those creepy corridors and cellars became the playground of old Russian science dudes from an organization called the Institute of Experimental Medicine, and this was a typical Tuesday. The actual point of the Fort Plague's research was to provide a vaccine, which the scientists secreted from the lymph of a very huge animal, such as horse, and interestingly, camels, with all the lack of kindness and comfort Russian medicine could afford. still the work was extremely dangerous. People on the island kept catching disease entirely back to Fort Sure. The plague fort operated until 1917 when the freshly subjugated country took one look at it, decided it was too creepy for even them, and probably shut it down. So they have an island in the middle of the water,
What are you doing?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm on my phone. I'm sitting here.
It keeps sounding like you're going into a fishbowl.
I don't know.
And then I hear other people talking.
I'm driving.
Oh, okay. What is going on over there?
I really hope you don't hear other people talking around, because I'm supposed to be by myself at the office.
Freak
me out a little bit.
I'm sitting here. I'm all self-conscious while I'm driving because my window's kind of leaked, so you can hear the wind.
And
my car is not quiet.
But yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty freaky. This fort. I guess they're doing experiments on these people and trying to find a cure for the plague. But I'm sure they weren't gentle about it either. You know. So yeah, anybody else, any creepy places they want to go visit?
Besides Pripyat?
Yeah. I won't give me radiation shit. Yeah.
There's an abandoned hospital in Berlin. It's a complex of almost 60 buildings. It is not just your typical creepy place. It's also a piece of history, like Adolf Hitler. Yeah, he's fantastic, sure. Sarcasm, if you couldn't tell. He was hospitalized there in 1916 when he was wounded during the Battle of Somme. So, it is called the Bielitz.
Anything has to do with Nazis is creepy. You know, even if it wasn't like he wasn't a Nazi back then when he was treated, it still has that connotation to it, you know? That's always pretty creepy.
It's called the Billetthausstatten, if I said that right, I'm not.
Hey, it sounds good to me. People don't like the way we pronounce things. Feel free to call and complain about it.
Well, I don't care if it has anything to do with the Nazis. No, it's 60 freaking abandoned buildings. It was built in the beginning of the 20th century during the whole tuberculosis thing.
Uh-huh.
And Karstadt near Berlin formed the largest hospital complex in the region. Freaking 60 of them, man. Come on.
Well, it's like Pennhurst. I mean, it's creepy. It's creepy on its own. But the fact that Nazi connotations adds to the creepiness, that's the only reason why it's creepy. I mean,
it was, no, no,
Nazis
no, no,
are
no,
creepy
no,
anyway.
No, 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 no. It was when he was there, yeah, before he was a Nazi. World War One in 1916.
No, I mean,
dude, come on now.
I realize he wasn't a Nazi back then. I'm saying that so Hitler was still a part of it,
Here you go. During the Second World War, it did end up getting used by the Nazis for different kinds of human experiments.
Well, there you go. Creepy.
So there you go.
creepy.
It says now that, like, while you're walking through the dark, dingy, dirty hallways, there's plenty of shattered glass on the ground and graffiti on the walls.
Yeah. Places like that are creepy. Like Beverly Hills. I mean,
well, not even just the Nazis were there. The Soviets took it over in, like after World War II, the Russians took it and used it as a Soviet military treatment facility until 1994. Yeah.
It makes me wonder what kind of EVPs you get from a place like that.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, that's a whole bunch of different, cultures there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's when I need to, like, win the lottery so we can all go places.
Heck yeah.
I got a message from Steve, and he was asking, what's up with the island?
Yeah, I saw that. Hiroshima, that, like I said, it was, sorry, I'm distracted, and we've got, like, 7 minutes left.
There's just one story that we'll talk about, other, like, Paracon and everything coming up.
Yeah. I'm going to have to pull it back up. Hiroshima was a was an island used to Mitsubishi bought it. I think it said 1890. Sorry. It is it's also called Battleship Island.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It looks so cool.
It does look like a battleship.
Yeah, it's really cool. It is really, really cool.
It's really cool.
In 1959, over 5,000 people lived and worked on the island. It is also called Ghost Island, and it's off the coast of Nagasaki. It's a coal mining city. It was more dense than Manhattan. Suddenly everybody left.
I'm here. I'm just trying to find the article.
No. I'm telling you, suddenly, you know, 5,000 people left.
Okay. I'm like, well, that's
They closed it in 1974 when they switched from coal to petroleum. So Battleship Island was rendered useless, and Mitsubishi closed the mine. So it's, yeah. They actually used it in the filming of Skyfall for James Bond.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they have updated a, on Google Street View, they have the updated Street View for it, so you can just, you know, run through on that.
Wow. That's definitely a creepy place. I was looking at that earlier. We are actually at the 5 minute mark. In this show, we actually looking forward to going to Paracon on Newport News. Just a few weeks back, we had Seven Cities Paranormal on our show, and they were discussing Paracon, and it's coming up, and we will be there. We, also,
we'll be sapping.
Yes, or you're so looking forward to that for sure. I don't know if we'll be sapping. I don't know if they want that there. I mean,
I don't know if they want a sapping in front of everyone.
No, it's not that kind of call. I don't. But there'll probably be kids there. You'll probably get kicked out if we do that. And arrested. Sorry, I had to switch. But yeah, we'll, Amber, Chris, and I will be there.
We will not be on air next week. We are taking a week off. We're revamping the show a little bit. And we'll come back in 2 weeks and we'll talk about prepping for Paracon.
We're skipping a week? Is that what you just said?
Yes. We are going to skip a week. We'll be off next week. And we'll come back better than ever. I hope you enjoyed your conversations about the creepy places and everything. Amber, what you got?
Huh?
What do you got?
What have I got?
Anything else to say? Because
I need a new car.
Yes, you do. And a new phone.
And a new phone. Well, the new phone, I don't really need that. That's just kind of a want. But my car, in an hour and 2 minutes, my inspection will be up. I have a busted, I can't remember what it's called. a busted strut in the rear end, and both of my CV boots up front are broke, so I can't pass inspection, and my job is reliant on me having a vehicle. Terrific.
Oh, yeah, damn. That is
so that's all I have to say.
That is wrong. That sucks. Yeah, I wish I could do what we could do.
Yeah, I guess.
My wife's going through the same thing.
I hope to see everyone out at Paracon.
Definitely. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. And we'll have brand new guests and everything, and it'll be awesome. And I'm all babbling here because talked a few hours, my brain's on the fritz right now, so just bear with me. I hope everyone has a great week. And Amber, hope you have a good day tomorrow and everything. And we'll talk to you soon.
Alrighty. Everybody have a good night.
Hope everyone enjoyed the show. And we'll be back. We'll be back shortly. Don't forget, Paracon at Boxwood and Newport News. Bye.
And that's it.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All righty.
All right, have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye.